The Lim Family Luau has been performing at the Mauna Kea Beach Hotel since Lawrence Rockefeller opened the resort back in the mid-1960s. Today, the Luau is the oldest continuously operating show on the Big Island of Hawaii. Come along and join Lorna Lim as she talks story about her family's passion for performing authentic song, hula dance, and tales of old Hawaii. Lorna Lim and her family reside in Kohala on the Big Island, and they are direct descendants of King Kamehameha the Great, who was born in North Kohala back in 1753.
Here we are at the Mauna Kea Resort.
Aloha, I'm Lorna Kapuolikoli Honani Lim.
Your family has been involved in the family luau on the Big Island for quite a long time. This is the oldest continuously operating luau on the island, right?
It sure is, and we've been here since the very first Rockefellers, well, the first owner of this hotel, and we got to know them and their family quite well. As a little girl, learning all about why this luau ground was made and why it was done here under the sunset, because it was his thing to enjoy the time to the fullest and watch the sunset far past the island of Lehuan, and realizing that you shall never live the day again, so let's enjoy the luau at where the sun will close its day off. So we've been here very long.
Your family started the luau around 1962 then?
Yes, absolutely. And it was started by my late aunt. Her name was Margaret Kaleolani Moku. She was one of the very first kumuhulas here on the Kohala coastline. She was one who started one of the blessings here in the hotel and also did the hula teaching in the hotel many, many years ago. So that was how it was started. And so that was why it was started in 1962, 1963, and then we came in somewhere after that, too, in 79, that this area started.
Let's go back in time. When your family first started it, how small and intimate was the troupe in the luau?
At that time, it was basically three little keikis, four younger girls, maybe between the ages of 15 to 17, and three aunties. And it was very traditional. There was a lauhala mat here, right where this stage area is, the lighting area is. And that was our stage. And it was very, very beautiful. It was just the very beginning. And our mom and dad were the musicians, along with a couple of aunties and uncles. And they would play music at the North Garden, here and there. But it was quite intimate, very family-oriented, until today it's still the same.
So in your life, you were born into the world of a luau.
Yes, we were. And at a very young age, my dad was a cowboy for Parker Ranch. Mm. And we were raised on Pu'uhue Ranch right on the Kohala Mountains. And there on the top of the mountains, there were no television or radio. So our mom and dad would play music to us, and that's really how we learned how to sing. As well as mom used to dance to hula, so she taught us to dance on the porch. So at a very young age, we were engulfed in culture and music and dance and stuff. So yeah, and mom and dad were it.
And so at what point in your life did you become an active member of the family troupe and perform?
Well, as I said, here at the Mauna Kea, I started the very first what do you want to call it? Auditioning at four. Then we got hired back when I was almost five. And I've been here all this time. So it's been quite a long time. I'm 55 years old now, so it's been a long time. But we were involved with Mauna Kea and all of the management, and we got to know Mr. Bird, Mr. Kohler, a lot of the old-time managers very well. But they kept it in a very family-oriented luau show. And it's been history all this time. It's been fun.
So intrinsic in your show is teaching, talking story of literal Big Island history, King Kamehameha.
Yes.
And talk to us about what you show and tell and teaching.
Absolutely. Well, in our show, we incorporate the birth of Kamehameha Paiea, who came from North Kohala. He's from our hometown, and he is a uniter of the Hawaiian Islands. Of course, he had a very strong army of warriors called the Kipu'upu'u Warriors, but Kohala people still carry on the genealogy and the chants of Kamehameha the Great. And so in our show, we incorporate that, making sure that our Malihinis know the history of this side of the island. And I think when you think about it in history, he was destined to do so by the time he was in the womb of in his mother's womb, you know. So there's a lot of our families that still perform here are descendants of Kamehameha the Great.
Wow, as, direct descendants.
Yes, direct descendants would be myself, some of the girls who are the chanters, some of the boys, because the family still exists in Kohala. You still have a lot of them still there. And these are just the offsprings of the original families. So, and we've kept the show in a family-oriented show for years, yeah. So it's been fun.
Some of the songs that you sing and the hula, whatnot, they are literal, direct, inherited generation after generation.
Absolutely.
So what your ancestors would have sung or danced when Kamehameha was here is the same.
Oh, absolutely. And when we'll be doing the Royal Court of Kamehameha the Great, you will be seeing a hula kahiko that honors him. And it really talks about, it's an old, old chant. And when you look at the composer of the chant, it doesn't say a person. It actually says Keakua or Naakua. It was written by the gods. And so it was a chant that honors Kamehameha the Great, who knew that he was going to be the uniter of the islands. So the way we do the ceremony is how it was done in the old days as well. A lot of our research, I spent many hours and years in the Bishop Museum. That was my job as part of the Alaka'i Fara Halau, because we're also a halau or a hula school that have been participating in the Mary Monarch Hula Festival. And my job was to do the research. So we do things that are, you know, politically correct into our, that is passed on from generations to generations. So you'll see that incorporated into the show.
Let's kind of turn it around.
Sure.
On the one hand, you are interpreting what happened 700, 800 years
yes.
ago.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Are there moments, are there times when you are dancing and you basically go dreamland and in a trance and now you're back in time?
Yes, absolutely. That's a very good question, and it's a very fine line, but that happens quite often. Mm-hmm. Especially for people who are very in tune with the dance. They call it Ikepapalua or the second sense, but there's also the goddess Laka and her sister Kapo. Kapo Olakina'u is the older sister of Laka. But when you get into the trance that you almost forget where you are, and you went back in time, and but you're still dancing.
Yeah. Exactly. Do you have a feeling of almost being suspended, of no gravity?
Yes, that has happened to me and myself, a lot of people. And just 2 weeks ago, it happened to my daughter. She went to the hula competition on the island of Maui. She just won as a new Miss Hula Onakeiki. But she ended up walking off the stage and saying to me, "Mom, I knew I was dancing. I didn't know where I was. I was in thin air. I could feel myself floating off." So those things still happen. And here at the show as well, those are little portals that open back in time, even if it's we're here today. Absolutely. There's a power of the mele, the power of the ha, and all those things that really incorporate that.
Yeah, because it is trance-like in its rhythm and cadence.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And it must be fascinating because there you are, suspended in this timelessness or back in time, but your eyes are looking out at these tourists.
Yes, and modern day.
Yes, and they have no clue where you really are.
Absolutely, and it's actually quite, I don't know, it's the right word, but it's very in awestruck, because you're looking, it's almost like looking in the future, yet knowing that you're somewhere in the past in the dance. So it's quite a transcending. You got to be able to be in the moment, because it's very few times you get a chance to have that, to connect at the same moment.
Exactly. And since you have spent time at Bishop Museum and going back as far in time as you can in your archival research, you're getting close. You can kind of get a glimpse. But you get to go there.
Yes. And a couple of times I remember doing research, and I've had friends with me, and I always do a nice pule and I ask for guidance. And whenever I find the composers, I always remind them that I'm here to honor their songs, not to just take from them. Please, if they wish for me to do their mele, they'd open up the mele to me, tell me what you want me to say. And there's moments where someone will give me something, and then the people would say to me, "We're not sure who that was." And I'm thinking, huh? Till today, I still can't find the face of a man that handed me the genealogy of Kalākaua. But, you know, it's like all of a sudden you open up the doorway to the past, and mm-hmm. they come through and they tell you this is that and tell my story, and then they're gone. Mm-hmm. But I've had those moments quite a bit of those times, because when you go into the Bishop Museum, you're really walking back through time, but you're also among the bones of our ancestors.
Literally,
it's very powerful. Mm-hmm. And you really see what life was like for them. And the simplicity, but the mana was very strong.
That is very pure. Yeah. It was very pure. So, yes, yeah.
I've had the opportunity of being blessed by doing so, and being amongst them was quite an honor.
That's so cool. Yes. One more thing. The Menehune, I've had many people local when I talk about
yes.
that.
Yes.
And it's almost sad in that it gets almost painted into a cartoon.
Yes.
You know, and yet it's not. The history is very different. Talk to us a moment about the Menehunes.
Well, of course, every island has them, and more in the very old areas, like in North Kohala, there's some that still exist around these old heiau, because they had two different names of them, but they had a specific kuleana, or responsibility in Hawaiian society. They were more like the ones that really worked from the ground up, and that's really where their jobs. And so they worked when the sun went down, only because they were looked upon as nothing to be prideful about, because of their, in essence, closer to the ground. So their thinking was they're going to be the ground workers, not necessarily the makainana. But here in Kohala, of course, their job was to... they were the ones who snare the birds, and they were help the ali'is, but their jobs was really done in the night.
They needed to be invisible,
yes,
and not seen. Yeah.
Absolutely, exactly as that. They're not open to be seen by all, because their job was very huna, very sacred. So yes, even in the front of Okini Heiau, there's an area where their kuleana was out in front of the heiau. So it's very, very... we get a chance to teach our kids about it. And then there are certain times on the lightning night, you'd see the shadows of them.
Ah, busted.
Yeah, which would be the time that you'd only see it. During the time the shadow, the flashes, you see the shadows moving along. So that's like those old areas in Kohala that still exist.
And
it's pretty fun.
What's the best sense and guess of how big they were, how small?
Jeez, I think maybe 4 feet and below, maybe. And, you know, they were quite unique in physical, because they're very strong. Their ike was very, very strong. They're very, very powerful. And their kuleana was to be strong. So, yeah.
Are Menehune still here?
I believe some of them are still existing, especially in the old places. In the walls of the valleys, they're still around there. I believe, because there's things that sometimes you wonder, who's cleaning these areas where you know that nobody's in existence of? You can definitely tell. I know I get goosebumps when I travel into the valleys of Kohala, and you know that there, not too many people are walking it, but you still see the trails walked on, so you know that they still exist. Their jobs are still here.
That's so cool.
It's so cool. I love it. Yes.
Well, only because you have to go on stage.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to let you go.
Well, thank you. It was such a pleasure to meet with you and share with you our stories. And we're quite honored to have our home and get a chance to share it with Hawaii and everyone else.
That's great. And one more time, your name and the name of the family
or
the group.
Oh, sure. My name is Lorna Kapuolikoolihuananikaumailunokohala Lim. I come from the Lim family, and we're musicians and we share Hawaiian music and hula and dance with Halau Naleo Koholoku and Halau Manaona. Again, it was quite an honor to be interviewed, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Mahalo.
You're welcome. Aloha.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Mauna Kea on the Big Island of Hawaii. We'll see you there.
Mahalo. Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com. Our associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, and Steve Cook, contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.